This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here. And we're light at heart now because we're talking about old Harvard, not at a football match, not even in terms of its prestige. But the breaking news is that Harvard is beleaguered by the Trump administration. And the comments suggest that Harvard has not prepared for the present dispute. As I understand it, and it changes, and we're in the first century AD, and our understanding of elite institutions in the 21st century has limits, although we do have experience. As I understand it, one allegation is that Harvard has not done enough or satisfactory to the Trump administration to address the extremely unacceptable and egregious conduct of 2024 anti-Semitism on campus, brutality and anti-Semitism, and what is said to have been continued abuse of Jewish students at Harvard. The administration says that Harvard's not done enough. There is also talk of the DEI not being rooted out at Harvard as directed by the administration. There are probably other things to say, but the administration is wielding the club of research money and the sort of thing that passes between Washington and elite universities, grants. That's the club. And right now, the opinion of what I take from the news from Harvard is that we're not going to accede to your demands, as did Columbia, and therefore we're going to court. Germanicus, I know this doesn't come to existential questions. It's about pride and about challenge. What do you measure is Harvard's ambition here? Are they just surprised? Are they just stuck and stubborn? They lost an election. Surely they knew this was coming.
Of course they didn't. I think the general expectation among the entrenched elites, as Lenin called them, the commanding heights of capitalism, believed that they would be in control of American society forever, for the foreseeable future. They didn't expect full one-party rule, but they certainly expected that their sensibility would remain dominant. And they were the ruling class and would always remain so. And so I think they're surprised and shaken, and everything is coming home to roost for them, because what we're seeing here, and what's particularly unsettling about the relationship between Harvard and other American universities, so-called great universities, is that they have been feeding off the taxpayer. They've been receiving money that amounts to a kind of squeeze. We call them politely grants, but that's just a code word for payoff. And it's an intra-elite payoff system, a circulation model of money, and the only input is the American taxpayer. And the double irony, of course, is that as the American taxpayers' money goes to these universities, they then are in a position to raise their tuition, thus hitting the American citizenry twice. And that has to come to an end. And what is kind of not poetic justice, it's not that good, but it is rough justice at least, is that they willingly became the creatures of the U.S. government. And so they're no longer a private institution. They are like those quasi-state institutions in the Third Reich. I mean, Krupp in the 1930s was still a titularly independent industrial corporation, but it was totally in the thrall of the Nazi Reich. And the same is true of all of these universities. So they're not independent, and they only choose to be recalcitrant when their money is being taken away. And they've got themselves in the situation where they, having taken the money, are now in a position to be told what to do by the government. And they're just in a very difficult position. And the only proper course of integrity would be for them to renounce government money completely and then say, you can't touch us.
The puzzle I have is what preparation was made for this day. When Colombia acceded to the demands of the federal government, I think something like the whole departments have to come under supervision.
Yeah.
And you have to address your curriculum, and you must take care that DEI is unacceptable. We regard it as prejudice and a distortion of our culture. All of that was in the newspaper, right? Bang, bang, bang. And it had a large figure attached to it. My memory is 400 million. There you are at the administration building in Harvard. You read this, as we all did. Mm-hmm. You have meetings. You have a plan A, you have plan B. Is there any sense that they did such a thing? They prepared?
Well, there's always a possibility that they have a grand strategy that will, or I should say, whose objective would be for Harvard to once again attain the very peak of position in the American ruling class. And that would be for Harvard to do what it's doing now by taking on this rogue fascist Trump administration and fight them down and then become elevated as mythic
heroes. Do they want escalation, Germanicus? Do they want escalation? Because that's what's going to come.
Yeah, no, I think that, but I don't really believe they had some sort of heroic grand strategy that they had prefigured and were ready to put into play. I just think that they don't want to submit, on one hand, for obvious reasons. You look at the proskinesis, the groveling of Colombia, that doesn't look good, but they want the money. And so they're taking a road that will give them no real payoff in terms of their own vision of themselves. The vision of Harvard is going to come down one way or the other. If they fight and lose their money and start wailing and sackcloth and ashes, that's going to look really stupid. If they submit, it will be like Colombia. That will look pathetic. And their only reasonable route is the one that I don't see them taking, which is to renounce the money.
No, that's not possible. And because they'll be abandoned.
Right. I just see a system. Okay, let me try to put it a different way. So you are getting billions a year. You have a war chest, which you refer to as an endowment, that is a tremendous, bigger than the money of many middle-sized countries in terms of their savings. And you can't imagine that would end on what to them must look like capricious circumstances. What did we do to deserve this? How could this have happened? So I and remember, these are corporate entities that are kind of a cross between a blue bureaucracy and a gentleman's club. So they're not really, they haven't been under fire. They aren't really realistically minded in their thinking.
What do they make of the remark that we'll cancel your nonprofit status? The temporary head of the IRS was just fired. We can anticipate what's coming. Without nonprofit, they don't have that much money. I understand most of the money is designated for certain schools. They have about $20 billion to spend. That'll go quickly. And people will get out of there. They're only as good as their leadership, and they'll
Right. Well, I mean, they could go back to being a great university.
Would it work? Would it work, Germanicus, if both boards resigned and they begged pardon and submitted? I mean, on their knee.
But I mean, that would be just humiliating. That would be. Well,
is there an alternative? We Romans understand when you're given an opportunity to surrender, you take it.
Well, Columbia prostrated itself, but Harvard at this point now would have to go to Canossa You know, when the Holy Roman Emperor walked on his knees through the snow
to the Pope. Do they know that America is cheering for the administration? Do they recognize that they're the most...
Okay, well, here is yet another way to look at it, or at least frame it. They have to do two things at once. Having not taken precautions, having not done a good assessment of the situation, at least as far back as November, they're now in a situation where they have to make an assessment as to what the outcome of different courses of action would be. And that the outcomes don't look very good. One of them looks like heroic impoverishment. The other one looks like being a eunuch owned by the state, and they haven't figured that out. And so it's hard to craft a strategy when you haven't even stood back and made a good assessment of where you stand and what is available to you.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. Gaius is John Batchelor. We're in Londinium enjoying ourselves with our second cup of wine. We have reflections on, we're going to the theater, and we have reflections on Terence, the playwright, and why it is that he empowers and enjoys talking about slaves, slave girls, slave young men, slaves entirely in wealthy houses. Why is that funny to him when we come back?
And eunuchs, too.
And eunuchs, thank you, although our Domitian, I think, forbid it for a while. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We'll be back with talk of a Roman playwright, Terence.